Hello and welcome to This is Oro Valley, a podcast where we explore the people and programs that make Oro Valley the vibrant community that it is. I'm Town Manager Mary Jacobs, and today we're speaking with Christy Diaz-Trahan, our Parks and Recreation Director. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Mary.
And certainly no stranger to the show. I've had Christy on before. But I'm also speaking today to Don McGann with McGann and Associates about our Naranja Park project. Don, welcome aboard.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So, Don, you have been with your firm for 38 years. You started this firm a long time ago. Tell us a little bit about your background. I know you're a landscape architect, and you also happen to be an Oro Valley resident. Isn't that right?
I am, indeed, and have been for three decades now. So, yeah, I always knew that I was interested in parks, and it was certainly one of the reasons and one of the main reasons I got involved in the profession of landscape architecture. And when I was in school, I had an opportunity to do an internship with the Costa Rican National Park Service and worked on a master plan for Volcanpoas National Park.
Wow.
And that led to another opportunity to work on the planning of the first national park in Saudi Arabia in the Asir province. And those were great opportunities, and I enjoyed the heck out of them. But I was at a point where I needed to make a decision. Did I really want to do just that kind of narrow field of park planning or something more broad that would include local parks and municipal facilities? And I chose the latter. And then, as you noted, 38 years ago, I started McGann and Associates. But parks has always been an integral part of our practice. We certainly have retained participation in kind of those natural resource planning projects. We did the first master plan for Tortolita Mountain Park, which is largely unimplemented, but is here in our backyard and certainly is a great resource for the community. We also get involved in urban parks and had an opportunity to work with the town on the design of Riverfront Park. And that's what, Christy, now 20 years?
Mm-hmm. 20
in
years.
The making. And other related facilities like sports fields, sports complexes, recently completed the design of the Keno South project for Pima County.
Right. Lots of experience. So we were fortunate enough to select you and your firm for the Naranja Park project. And I'm really excited that we're going to spend some time in this podcast letting our community know about what that project is, why it's being designed the way that it is, and what they have to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the park, for our listeners who don't know where Naranja Park is, it's on Naranja Drive, just east of La Cañada. And it was purchased back in what, Christy, 2000, I think, by the town?
It was in two different purchases, but okay. Yes, roughly 2000. We've had it about a little over 20 years.
Okay. And so it's a big piece of property.
Over 200 acres.
Yeah. And that's big, but there are some challenges associated with it. It's now had a couple of master plans. And, but here we are with funding this time around to actually do something and to hit some of those things that the community would like to see. We went through an entire Parks and Recreation master planning process last year and got a lot of great information and input from our residents. And that, of course, is the foundation of what we're going to see in Naranja Park. But now that that is done, and now, Don, that you're on board, what goes into the planning and preparation of you know, something of this magnitude?
Well, I think there's a couple of key elements. One is understanding the site. And this being an old sand and gravel pit, you know, there's lots to understand and lots of history and just modifications to what was previously there. The second part of that is understanding what the community needs are. And those were expressed through that master planning process. And so it's understanding the site and the community needs and then trying to merge those into a plan for a park that functions, that's safe, creating a place that people want to be and that meet the stated needs of the community.
And I love that word place, and Christy uses it all the time, right? It's that place. It's a place where families get to go in the future. So, Christy, what is it that that the town council said that they wanted to see in this design for Naranja Park?
Yeah, thank you, Mary. So that's really the exciting part, because there's a lot of places, but really what make places special are the things that you can do and see and touch and smell and experience. And so when Naranja Park project is completed, it'll be a multi-generational facility that'll last for decades. And it's going to include additional rectangle fields for lacrosse and soccer and football, even Quidditch. There will be lighted paved walkways. So folks with strollers, if you're on wheels or anything of that nature, it's an inclusive walkway. We're adding pickleball courts, and we all know the wild popularity of pickleball, and it's not just for the older generation. That's young right. folks and families are really taking a liking to pickleball, a splash pad. So that'll be our first free to the public splash pad, and it's positioned right next to the brand new playground. So that's going to be wildly crazy over there for families and kids and pictures and memories throughout a lifetime.
And maybe a bit noisy.
Yeah, a little noisy. Yeah. But it'll be fun. It'll be lots of laughter. The other piece is we're going to be adding some basketball courts, but brand new to the park system, something that is not in existence in Oro Valley, will be a skate park and a bike pump track. So that's going to be an exciting amenity where a lot of those users are going outside of Oro Valley to recreate. And so now we'll be able to bring them home.
That's wonderful and so exciting. Some of these amenities have kind of been on the wish list for the community for a long time. And like I said, with funding now, the council approved a bond at $25 million. And most of that will have to go to the Naranja Park implementation. Talk to us, Don, about what the process is going to be. You know, you mentioned that this is a sand and gravel, former sand and gravel pit. And anyone who's been to Naranja Park knows that there's a lot of hills and a lot of stuff that's going to need to be smoothed out, so to speak. But I love the new design that kind of terraces it a little bit. And also that helps to make it a little more affordable in terms of not moving quite as much dirt. How'd you come up with that and how's it going to work?
Well, there will be a lot of dirt that's moved.
Yeah.
But certainly the goal is not to be taking soil from the site and trucking it and bringing it somewhere else, or running short of soil and then have to bring it in one truckload at a time. So that balance of earthwork is key to kind of the financial aspect of the project, keeping the project within budget. So that's certainly an important part of it.
If I can jump in here, I think that's the uniqueness of Naranja Park is the really strange landscape and being able to take advantage of some of the natural terracing and moving dirt and compacting it. So there will be this tiered approach, right? So where the current soccer fields are, we'll have a parking lot in between them, but the new ones will be not just north, but they'll be, you know, higher in elevation. And then the ones furthest north will be even higher elevation. And then we're putting the dog park at the very north side, and you're going to have spectacular views. So I tell you that those dogs are lucky dogs.
That's right. If you don't have a dog, get a dog. Now.
Right. Yeah. Or dog sit or right, something just to sit there and watch the sunset and see the city lights. And then, you know, frankly, watch how the park is being used and get, you know, to listen to all of the cheering. And it's just spending time in a park is priceless.
And that earthwork is certainly really an important part of the project, but it also is kind of a plus. So many of the parks, as you you know, travel to parks in Maricopa County, for example, were built on old cotton fields, and they're flat. And there's nothing that makes them unique. One is very much like the other. Naranja Park will be unique, and it will be the signature park for the Oro Valley community.
Well, all of those amenities sound really exciting. But Don, you took that sort of list and structured it in a way that works together. And there's a real rhyme and a reason behind why certain things were placed in certain locations. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And I think the best way to kind of frame that discussion is to approach it as if you're a park user. How do you get to the park? Where do you park when you want to go to a field or to the playground or to the new splash pad? How far is it to walk? If there's an incident and an emergency vehicle needs to get to various portions of the park, what's the route that they're going to take? How does that all work? And also proximities of different features. If I have a child and they are having a soccer practice on field one, and the playground is a quarter mile away, mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to have them wander over there. But dealing with those proximities and relationships is very important. So if I can sit here, watch practice, and monitor what's going on the playground, those are all kind of important design features. And Christy, certainly in tune with you know, the operations of the park and how these pieces fit together.
Yeah, and it's really looking at it from the lens of the user, right? So if you're a young family going to the park, you want to be able to have some of the kids playing their sports, but then also with a line of sight, they can be at the splash pad and at the playground. So as a design, you want to make sure that they're in a close proximity, versus putting a splash pad and playground isolated. When you're there as a family, you really have to be in that isolated area, pick up, haul all of your stuff to the other side of the park so that way you can, you know, play ball or fly a kite. So really looking at clustering the use based on who the user is going to be.
Well, that's part of the reason why the dog park is what got moved, because that is oftentimes, that's a destination. People come there, they go to the dog park, and then they go home. And may or may not, sure, some may have kids or they might do other things, but when you're in the dog park, your dog is there, it's fenced, and you're not going anywhere until your dog comes off and there's on a leash. And so using that freed up space for these other amenities, the skate park, the basketball courts, in an area that needs to be around everything else for your kids and for the family, I think just was a magnificent design. And I love the way that it turned out.
Well, as we've alluded to, certainly the relationship of different features within the park are important, but it's also important the relationship of the park to neighbors.
Right.
And if it's a relatively noisy facility that requires, you know, high intensity lighting to be safe, that's probably not something you want to have in
people's,
you know, in someone's backyard.
Yeah.
One of the benefits of this being an old sand and gravel pit is the grade changes provide some really nice separation between most of the communities and, you know, the active park facilities.
Yeah, they're kind
but
of
looking
up high.
At how these park improvements relate to the neighborhood and to the community, that's also very important.
And this also finishes off that long-term plan that has always been on the books to have a road from Tangerine all the way to Naranja Park so that folks don't have to drive all the way around the block in order to come in the Naranja Park entrance. But more importantly, and I know that you've also consulted with our fire department and our police department, safety is a pretty important consideration. If we're going to start seeing more and more people, more and more users at the park, then there needs to be a quick way for our first responders to be able to get in, or evacuation, you know, if that, God forbid, were to happen. So, and yet your design, Don, I love because you separated the road, added those great bike lanes, pedestrian connections, and made it feel like it's not intrusive in the park. It's really kind of offset to the park So I think that'll be a real plus for the community.
Yeah, certainly access from the north, where a large proportion of the Oro Valley community lives, is certainly important. And you mentioned the road, but I think it's also worth noting that paralleling the road will be a shared use path.
Right.
And that will extend from the existing shared use path along Tangerine Road south to what will ultimately be a shared use path on Naranja.
Right.
So a great, you may not ever use the other facilities in the park, but if you want to walk or ride your bike or having that connection will certainly be a big asset for folks in the neighborhoods.
We've got a groundbreaking planned for the very end of May, which is exciting. But I do think it's important for our residents to understand what's going to happen first. What's really going to happen first is a lot of dirt moving, and that is going to take some time. How long is that phase, Don?
Well, we're working with the contractor and working on a more specific schedule, but it's in the order of 6 months of earthwork and underground utility work to get the site ready where individual facilities can be built. That's an approximation of the time that's required. And you're right, a lot of dirt's going to be moved. And inevitably, there will be some construction noise. There will be some dust, although certainly the contractor is operating under an air quality permit that requires mitigation of that. But it's never 100% complete. So there will be some inconvenience to the community, some noise, and they're not going to be working late at night or super early in the morning. There are some guidelines that the town has established for when they can work. But equipment makes noise, and, you know, moving dirt, even with mitigation, will create a little dust, but it's certainly going to be worth it when it's all done.
6 months of dirt work. Then, and I know you're going to get this question, we're all going to get this question, like, what's next? What's kind of the order of magnitude? And how are you deciding what's going to be built next as this unveils? Because I realize this is a multi-year project.
Right. It is a multi-year project. Throughout this project, the one living, breathing organism that is sensitive to a season is growing in grass.
Right.
And so we are targeting late spring, early summer of 2023 to plant grass and using sprigs and allowing that ample time to grow in and really take root. And shooting for late 2023 to open it and let people play.
Well, I could not be more excited about what we're going to see at Naranja Park in the very near future. And so, Christy Diaz-Trahan, thank you so much for being on today's podcast. Don McGann, thanks for being our designer for the park. We're really thankful to you and your firm for the great work that you're doing, and look forward to working with you over the next year plus.
Well, we certainly appreciate the opportunity. It's going to be a great park.
It is. Thank you, Mary, for having us.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed this month's podcast. And I also hope you'll stay tuned for next month when I have as my guest Judge Jim Hazel from the Oro Valley Town Court. Until then, see you in the park.